Bob has chosen for his subject tonight, and this is a long one, repent.
Repent. Now, it's a word that we're going to investigate a little bit today, but it's a word that every man, woman, and child that's ever lived on the face of the earth is going to get an opportunity to do, is to repent. Maybe not in this life, but in the kingdom, it's still going to be a requirement, and that is to repent. When I think of the word repent, a couple of things come to mind. One is, there's a brother in Detroit, and he used to be a New Yorker, and his name is Norm Zendler. And, you know, and Norm is quite outspoken, and he tells about a story that he goes through New York City, and that's where he was born. And, you know, in New York, you have street corners where it's the old soapbox deal where a preacher gets up and he's shouting, "Repent or you're going to hell." And Norm says one day he went by this fella and he said, "You know what, fella?" He said, "You're going to hell too." You know, and of course this guy didn't realize what Norm was meaning, but nevertheless, you know, the story is that repent is on the minds of all people who seem to hear the preachers talking about there's a need to do something. When I think of repent also, I think of John the Baptist. I think of a man who's got a long beard. He's wearing coarse clothing or camel's hair type clothing, which is the inexpensive clothing. And he's walking through the towns and through the cities of Israel. And he's talking to these people, his fellow countrymen, and he's requesting them to repent. Repent because the Messiah is coming shortly. And so we're going to look into the word repent tonight a little bit. We're going to look into three words: repent, repentance, and the third word, if I can find it here, is repented. You know, there's three words, and sometimes it's easy to kind of put them all together and make you think that they're all the same. They mean the same thing, and yet these words really are words not necessarily related to baptism, but in the scriptures they are associated in many cases with baptism. We're going to begin by looking at the account in Luke, the third chapter. Luke, the third chapter, verse 1. It says, "In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, Ananias and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zebedee," the son of Zacharias, I should say, "in the wilderness." The word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And verse 3 says, "And he came unto all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Now, verse 4 of Luke 3 says, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." About 30 years earlier, Zacharias and Elizabeth are childless. Zacharias is a priest in the temple in Jerusalem, and he was wishing to have a son. And you know, it was kind of in society, it was kind of a detriment to be in a family with not being able to have children. And they had always wished to have a son, and now Zacharias was getting up in age. And we read in the 13th verse of Luke 1, and this is the story about Zacharias is in the temple. And it says in the 13th verse of Luke 1, "But the angel," and this is Gabriel, "said unto him," in other words, Zacharias all of a sudden sees the angel in the temple, and it says, And Gabriel says, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." So he was saying he was going to be a Nazarite. And a Nazarite would not be one who would not drink strong drink, would not cut his hair. So you can imagine, when we're talking about John the Baptist, he's got a head of hair on him that's 30 years old, basically. So he's got a lot of hair, and he's got a beard and so forth. But it was an outward sign that he had taken a vow that he would not shave, and he would be a Nazarite, and he would not touch dead bodies, and he would not drink strong drink. And so in the 16th verse, we read Luke 1:16. And this is Gabriel still talking. He says, "And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." We're going to ask you to kind of think of something here and hold the point, and that is, in the 16th verse it says, "And many of the children shall he turn to the Lord their God." We're going to call that point A. So that's number A, or letter A designation. And at the end of that verse it says, "And to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And that's going to be point number B. So just, in other words, what we're saying here is that John had two missions. One was that the people should turn to the Lord their God, and we call that A, and B was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So there's two points in John's work. And going on, I would think that as a joyful father, Zacharias probably told his young son that he was a child of promise, that an angel actually told him he was going to be born, and they named him. This angel named him John. And perhaps he waited till John was a young man, and then he told John one day the rest of the story. He would probably start with the prophet Isaiah. And he would probably talk to him about Isaiah, the 40th chapter, beginning verse 1. Isaiah 41 reads this way, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and to cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The Amplified there says, "For her warfare is accomplished, her punishment is accepted." The NIV says, "Her hard service has been completed, and her sin has been paid." So what Isaiah was saying was that a time would come when her warfare would be accomplished or ended, and her sins or iniquity would be pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. And then in verse 3 it says, "And the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Now, Zacharias probably told John, he says, "That one crying in the wilderness, John, is you." He says, "Isaiah was writing about you and your ministry." And of course, these are almost the same words that the angel told me about you in the temple. He said, "The time is coming soon, and our nation's sin will be forgiven. The Messiah is ready to come, and you, John, have been given the opportunity to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So Zacharias was reading this scripture, perhaps in Isaiah, telling John what his work was. Then the next, perhaps, he would speak to him about Daniel, the 9th chapter, the 24th verse. Daniel 9:24, and it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to make finish the transgression. Same words here, basically, is the ending of iniquity, or the warfare is completed or accomplished. This is the pardon, and to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 70 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the walls even in troublous times. Now, being a priest, Zacharias would know the 70 weeks or the 490 years would be ending soon. So he would tell John that the Messiah would be coming to power very soon. And you, John, your ministry will start soon, but wait for the Lord God to call you. Now, this prophecy in Daniel is the only prophecy we have concerning the Lord's first appearance on the earth. It gives us the counting of 70 weeks, 490 years from the time when the decree was given to rebuild the temple and the city of Jerusalem, and to the coming of Messiah would be 490 years, basically. And John would be able to understand that his father said, we've been counting all these years, and we know that it's coming to an end very shortly. And so, John, you know, your work is about to start. And so we find in the third verse of the second verse of Luke 3, we repeat, the word of the Lord came unto John in the wilderness. And so John is called to begin his work. And we know that he began his work approximately 6 months before our Lord began his work. And so we read in Luke, the third chapter, the 15th verse. It said, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused or wondering in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or the Messiah or not. And John answered, saying unto them, indeed, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, and the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John says, I have a work of baptizing you with water. The Messiah is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And we'll just repeat Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. And we read this way. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And the Living Bible says, turn from your sins unto God, for the kingdom is coming soon. And the Amplified says, and saying, repent, think differently, change your mind regarding your sins, and changing your conduct, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And of course, the diglot of that same scripture says, reform, because the royal majesty of the heavens has approached. So we want to read in Mark, the first chapter, verses 2 through 5. Mark 1, 2 through 5. And it reads this way. And as it is written in the prophets, and this is Malachi 3, 1, behold, I send my messenger before the face, well, before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, now is Isaiah 40 and 1. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Two works by John. Baptizing in the wilderness, we're going to say, is A, that A we talked about before. And preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins was B, was another work. In the Diaglot, we read the same verse, Mark 1:4, and it says, John was immersing in the desert and publishing an immersion of reformation for forgiveness of sins. Or the Companion Bible says, with a view to forgiveness of sins. King James, reading verse 5 of Mark 1, says, and there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Now you notice it doesn't say their sins were forgiven them, but they were baptized in the river, confessing their sins. Now in Luke, the 3rd chapter, verses 3 and 4, it says, and he came unto all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So here we get back to this point A and point B. There were two parts to John's message. John was calling the nation to repent and to be baptized as a sign of their commitment to change their mind, their attitude. And it was done by water immersion. It didn't wash away their sins, though. What it was is that they made a commitment. And they demonstrated that commitment by being baptized in the water. And a new life started when they came out of the water because they had committed to do something different now, to get back into a relationship with God through the law. And part B now, the second part he was preaching, was he was preaching and publishing in advance the baptism of repentance. Now, this second baptism is later called Christ's baptism. And it does take away sins, but not by water, but by covering them with the precious blood of Christ. And so we read these words in Acts 19, chapter verse 4. It says, Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So John wasn't only preaching about these people should change their mind, but he was also talking about the Messiah was coming. And the Messiah was going to free them and make them a great nation. We can find these same words in Luke, the 1st chapter, verses 76 and 77. Again, these were the words spoken by Zacharias. He's talking about the birth of John, and he says, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation and unto the people by the remission of their sins. And so he was pointing out that there was another baptism coming, not just John's, but another baptism that would take away sins, their personal sins. So Jesus was telling us that there is a way of salvation. And it's Matthew 26, 28. He says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins. So it's the blood that is the remission for sin, not just a matter of being dipped in the Jordan. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, this is the time of Pentecost, the 2nd chapter, the 38th verse. Peter is speaking here. He said, then Peter said unto them, these are Jews in Jerusalem, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Really, brethren, we find that if we look at the words carefully, we can see there are two messages given by John. There's a message to the Jews to come out from their evil ways and their disregard for the law and come back into a relationship to the law. And then there's another message, and that is the Messiah is coming. And the Messiah is going to take away your personal sins. So there was a national sin that was to be taken away, and there was a personal sin that would be taken away by the blood of Jesus. Now, there are three words that we spoke about before that are fairly closely related. And in the past, I've kind of put them all together. And we talked about them before, and that is repented, repent, and repentance. Now, the word repented means to take to care, to care afterward, regret, to be concerned. These are all the word repented. In other words, to care after something has happened, if you've done something, you're repented. That's the word there that says, oh, I did something wrong. Or I regret what I did. And that's the word repented. Number 3338. Now the word repent means to change your mind, to reconsider. And the third word, repentance, means to turn over or to turn into. In other words, to do something. So if we were going to put them in some other words, we would say, it's like walking down the road. You're walking down the wrong road. Repented means I realize that I'm on the wrong road. That's the word repented. You have regrets. You're on the wrong road. You realize you're on the wrong road. The word repent says, okay, I'm on the wrong road. Now I'm going to stop and I'm going to turn around. That's the word repent. And the third word, repentance, means I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to commit to do it. I'm going to start walking on the right road. So we have three words that in the past I've kind of all put them together meaning the same thing. But one is, you have to realize that you are going the wrong way. The second one is, you've got to stop and do something about it. And the third word is a word that says, okay, I'm on the wrong road, I've stopped, and now what am I going to do? I'm going to turn around, I'm going to walk on the right road. And that's the word repentance. So even though they sound like the same word, they really have three different meanings. We're going to give you a couple of scriptures. You know, we have to worry about context too. The word repented doesn't always talk about baptism. The first word is found in Matthew 21:28. And this is, I realize I'm on the wrong road. That's what this word means, repented. It says, but what think ye, certain men said, who had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. Well, that's kind of strange. The son says, I'm not going to go in your vineyard. It says, but afterward he repented. And that it was, he changed his mind, amplified says. In other words, he realized he had done the wrong thing. And then he went. In Matthew 27, we have verses 1 through 4. It says, when the morning was come, and this is talking about Judas now. It says, and all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, comes now the word repented. And the NIV says he was seized with remorse. And it says he brought the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and so forth and so on. So here we have this word repented is that I realized I'm on the wrong road. Now the word number two that we're going to talk about is repent, and that means to stop and to turn around. Okay, and it says John the Baptist in Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so he's telling the Jews to stop doing that old way of disregarding the law. In Mark, the first chapter, verse 14, and Jesus is saying here, and it says, now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So now it's stop and turn around. It's the gospel that's now in the picture, basically, here. And now the third point is repentance, the word. And we have the work. And repentance means commit to walk, committing to run on the right road. And we have Luke 24, 46 and 47. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, being at Jerusalem. So here it's the commitment of preaching that is associated with the word repentance and remission of sins. This is talking about an inward feeling of a commitment to do something different. In Acts 5:28, we have through 33, those are five verses, but in there we have some words here concerning to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And it's related to God has exalted his son and put him on his right hand to be a prince and a savior. And it says to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So it's talking about a work, about doing something, not the commitment of being baptized or being covered in the water. So we've talked about three words. We've talked about, one is to stop doing the wrong thing. The second is to realize that we must turn around and do something. And the third word is we're going to do something. We're going to preach. We're going to walk. We're going to run. And they're all dealing with this word repent or repented or repentance. But now there's a fourth word. A fourth word is the word converted. It's number 1994. Acts, the third chapter, starting with 17th verse, it says, it's after Pentecost, Peter is speaking to the Jews. They had healed a lame man, and the Jews were saying, what should we do? There was talk about, you've crucified the Messiah, and these are devout men who have understanding, and now they said, we did the wrong thing, what are we to do? And it said, and we go down near the end of those verses between 17 and 21, and we read these words, we're skipping over some here. It says, repent ye therefore and turn again. And that's the American standard. So that your sins may be blotted out, so that the seasons of refreshing may come from the face of the Lord. The Jews were saying, we feel sorry. We killed the Messiah. What are we to do? And so now it's a matter of repent. That means to stop what you've done and turn again so that your sins may be blotted out so that the seasons of refreshing may come from the face of the Lord. So the Jews had a work to do to revert back to where they should have been, basically. And remember, it's at the end of the Lord's Supper, and this is Acts, the 22nd chapter, and 31 and 32, it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and thou, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Now Peter was with the Lord. He saw, he worked, he heard, he was moved in his heart. He was ready to fight. He was ready to die for the Lord, he said. But that wasn't enough. The Lord said, when you're converted, remember. So conversion is something else that is associated with these words. Matthew 13, verses 13 through 16. Therefore speak I them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, that in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, that is to turn again, American Standard, and I should heal them. So they could see, they could hear, they could understand, but what was missing? It was this thought of being converted, to turn again. Well, brother, we've talked about words concerning baptism, words concerning a change in our life, words that picture in our minds a need for a new direction, and needs for conversion. And the words of conversion really are a matter of converting this man, this old man of ourselves, converting us, and the Lord spoken of, converted us to be like little children. So there's an attitude change besides what we want to do. There's an attitude that we must be like little children regarding our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So we've spoken of three words. And we would again summarize them saying is to realize that we're walking on the wrong road, and that's repented. And we realize it's time to stop and to turn around, and that's repent. And then it's time to do something about it, to walk and run on the right road, and that's repentance. There are three questions that are asked at baptismal time. Do I realize that I'm a member of Adam's fallen family? Do I realize I'm on the wrong road? That's the same question. Second question is, have I accepted Jesus as my personal Redeemer? In other words, have I turned around and decided there's something better? And the third question is, have I made a full and unreserved consecration to do His will? Have I decided to turn around and run on the right road? These are these three words, repented, repent, and repentance have. But there's one step left, and that's the step of conversion. And with the help of the Spirit of God and the understanding of His will and through the Scriptures, we convert this old creature into the likeness of a little child. A child of God and His dear Son. And so, brethren, we can talk about repentance, and we can talk about repent, and we can talk about repented, and we can talk about those words and what they really mean. But if we don't have conversion, if we don't become as a little child, if we don't take the steps necessary to be like that of a little child, then we are not worthy of being called and walking after our Lord. That we must have those same qualities. So let's not look at repent as a one-time act in our life, but it's a lifetime act. And all three of these, along with conversion, if we are successful in following these three words plus the fourth word, then we will be found acceptable to walk and to be part of God's family, his sons. And may the Lord help us to be faithful.